Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Welcome to Hard Currency from the Financial Times, our weekly exploration of the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and with investors in a state of limbo this week over the dollar and the euro, it was Turkey's lira that grabbed attention with a dramatic fall over a diplomatic fallout with the United States. Turkey's problems, frankly, look fairly well self-contained, but are the prospects for emerging markets currencies in general, what are they like? The dollar's weakness all year has been a blessing for EM, but that was until September when a dollar revival had EM currencies running for cover. So is EM ever going to break the shackles of the dollar correlation, or is there some underlying reasons for optimism? I'm joined this week by Sergei Strigo, who looks after EM debt and currency at the European asset manager Amundi. Sergei, how has EM been for Amundi this year?
EM has done actually very well for us, for Amundi, and I think for the market in general. So pretty much across all asset classes in emerging markets, whether it's US dollar bonds, hard currency, FX or domestic bonds, are in sort of high single digit mid-teens. Mm. If you look at EM equity, the returns are even higher than that. So it is definitely a very good year for emerging markets in general, which is obviously, we can see in the significant inflows into the market.
And you put that down to the weakness in the dollar in the main?
It's a combination of factors. I think it's the, first of all, still very low global interest rates that are actually pushing investors to look for less conventional asset classes, and the emerging market is certainly one of them. This is what we call a search for yield, and that's really across the board in all the types of emerging market asset classes. Currencies are higher yielding than the dollar and the euro and majority of the other G10. Yeah. Emerging market bonds in both local currencies and dollars are also higher yielding than some of the other comparable developed market bonds. So, you know, this is driving this push towards higher yielding assets. And on the other side, very importantly, we've had a significant turnaround in the macroeconomic situation. I think, you know, and this is very important because it's making investors very comfortable in investing in emerging markets. Yes. So we've seen, you know, countries that were in a recession a couple of years ago, like Russia and Brazil, are coming out of those recessions. Inflation is very low across the board in emerging countries. Hence, central banks are still cutting interest rates, which is very positive for bonds.
Okay, so when we get to September and the dollar starts going up and we get a bit of a wobble on emerging markets, what do we make of September, therefore?
The September wobble was really mostly due to the U.S. issues, I would say. So we've had, obviously, market recession somewhat, the likelihood of December hike by the FOMC. So now we're around 80% probability of a hike, which is significantly higher where comparing to where we were in August. Some of the macroeconomic data from the U.S. has been a little bit stronger, and there is renewed noise on the potential tax reform from the U.S. administration. So all of these things should be supporting dollar.
So what goes up with the dollar will go down, which kind of makes the you know, the agnostic EM investor wonder whether that correlation is ever going to break. I mean, to the point you were making earlier, you know, some of the fundamentals are improving, but you can't get away from that correlation or that inverse correlation with the dollar.
No, short term, probably you wouldn't. But if you look at the medium to long term, ultimately investing in emerging market currencies, you're still picking up significant yield comparing to dollar, euro, any other underlying developed market currency. So over medium to long term, it still makes sense to invest in EM currencies. And on the valuation side, you know, we've had a significant depreciation in the majority of currencies, you know, during the commodity price collapse in 2014. So arguably also on the valuation side, emerging market currencies are actually quite cheap.
The other correlations people tend to look at with emerging markets is China, how China is doing, its economy, and also, well, linked to that is how many commodities China's buying, therefore the commodity price. That's perhaps more related to commodity currencies within EM. Again, I mean, actually, we're coming up to the People's Party Congress next week with China. So this is also going to be an interesting, perhaps nervous time for EM.
It could be. I mean, China obviously is something to be watched all the time in a sense, but what we've seen certainly this year, and this is really very similar trend to the other emerging market countries, that Chinese growth has actually picked up. Mm. You know, they've done fiscal stimulus, monetary policy stimulus, etc., and supporting the real estate in China. So in general, I think what we're looking at today is continuous stability of Chinese economy. And this is really what people want. It's not necessarily that investors want to have an 8% growth or 9% growth in China. They want a stable growth, which is easy to forecast. And this is actually what we're witnessing these days.
Would you say, therefore, that the correlation between EM is still going to be very strong with China than it compared to the correlation with the dollar? There's actually, that's the area that the EM investor has to look at more.
In a sense, yes, but I think the correlation will be higher if China goes significantly down in terms of economic growth, right? It's a downside risk, which is really going to spook the market, which as of today, we're not really seeing that happening.
With EM, we always worry about how it has a contagious effect. And perhaps looking at Turkey this week, we could safely say that there wasn't any knock-on effect elsewhere in EM or in the rest of the market. Is that right?
You're absolutely right, yes. And I think this is a sign of maturity mm-hmm. of emerging markets, where investors are able to differentiate between different countries and the reasons why they perform in a certain way. You're absolutely right. There was a renewed political noise in Turkey, and that only affected Turkish assets.
Yes.
And, you know, we can look at other examples. For example, the corruption scandal in Brazil
yes.
equally affected
in May,
only
yes.
incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah, in May, with renewed allegations of corruption, only affected Brazilian assets, currencies, and bonds. Didn't really do anything, even to the, you know, sort of near abroad in the sense of other countries, Latin America.
All this is pretty good for EM, actually. We're talking about correlations breaking down. We're talking about contagion no longer there. But for the rest of the year, for the rest of 2017, a possible Fed hike, a possible ECB tapering, what in the short term should the EM investor be thinking about?
I'm still positive on EM into the year end and over the next few months. I think, yes, notwithstanding the fact that the Fed is probably going to hike, and as you said, the ECB will probably start tightening one way or the other, the yield and the carry offered by emerging assets is still significant. And coupling that with the improvement in the fundamentals, it is a pretty interesting space to invest in today. So it is becoming more and more a carry story rather than a significant, I would say, price appreciation story, because in terms of looking at evaluations, certainly the credit spreads are towards the tight end of the range.
Yes.
There is still room for them to compress, clearly, but it is, you know, that trade getting exhausted somewhat. On currencies, you can argue there is a little bit more room to appreciate, but again, that is really, we have to look at what the euro dollar is doing on the other side. And on the local currency bonds, we're still going to have for the next few months interest rate cuts in a number of important emerging market countries. So from the domestic monetary policy side, local bonds certainly add value to that.
Okay. So that's the end of this year. So what about 2018? Let's take the first quarter. If you're brave enough, the second quarter as well. But what are the prospects more medium term?
Sure. On the first quarter 2018, I think we're probably going to see continuation of the trend that we've seen today. There is significant inflows into the market, and this is what is driving short-term the market moves in emerging market bonds. Going forward into the sort of mid next year and later, we have to look at what is ECB actually going to do with regards to, you know, potential tapering or monetary policy. And then we'll have to see what the Fed reaction function is going to be. Don't forget that we are also waiting for the next chairman of the Federal Reserve Committee, which is going to be an important indicator of what we can expect.
Yes, indeed. Okay, Sergey, so just finally, I'm going to ask you three things about your picks for within EM, where should the investor avoid? Where in EM would you say, oh, I'm not sure about that at all?
Look, if you look at the market today, looking at the macroeconomic situation in emerging market countries, in the developed countries, which is broadly improving, looking at the valuations, I prefer to be in the higher yielding assets in general. And that is in currencies, in US dollar bonds, or in local currency bonds. Some of the countries or regions that stand out as given better valuations are certainly Latin America, for example, countries like Brazil, Argentina, Mexico. Also on the corporate side, there are some interesting opportunities in investing in emerging market credit, corporate credit. Asia does look a little bit expensive to me. If you look at the absolute level and sort of, I would say, real rates in Asia, less of a value call there, plus obviously the risk of China, which is, you know, in a sense, always there. And obviously the risk of some sort of U.S. administration move against China with regards to protectionism.
Okay.
So that's the region where I'm a little bit more cautious today.
Okay, so you've actually helped me answer two questions. I was going to ask you where to avoid and where you would go. You've answered that. So the final question is, can you give our listeners a surprise part of EM, a part of EM that perhaps they wouldn't naturally have thought about or which is not really talked about a great deal, where you think actually that's got a lot of potential?
I think the frontier markets is certainly something to look at. Yeah. And we're seeing more and more new countries coming in issuing bonds. For example, Tajikistan was the country that fairly recently issued their first ever emerging market bond. So this is something very interesting because, you know, the valuations in some of these places are quite interesting to look at. And I think for, you know, the next year or so, I think clearly, I think what is going to be on the investors' radar is probably going to be Venezuela. The situation with Venezuela, with the potential credit event or not, this is something which is going to be quite interesting to monitor.
All right. My thanks to Sergei Strigo of Amundi. Next week, it is the China Communist Party Congress. Expect an awful lot of chatter about the renminbi and China's growth outlook. So join us to discuss these and other issues on hard currency. Until next week, it's goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.